we present the best of South African radio drama for your listening pleasure in Radio Theatre. And now, Act One of this week's story.
We present Murder on the Mind by Glyn Day.
Jarvis, aren't you? Sunday Mail?
That's right. I don't think...
What brings you to London? The province is too quiet for you.
Oh, no, it's not that. There's a conference on. But are you not connected with the newspaper world, Mr...
Indirectly. Yes, you could say that. Yes, I am connected with the newspaper world, but only indirectly. Do you ever meet any of the people you write about, Mr. Jarvis?
Oh, yes, of course I do, but I don't understand.
You don't need to. How long have you been a crime reporter?
Look, I don't understand all this is about. Are you a journalist out for a quick story or something?
No, I told you that.
Well, then why all the questions?
I want some information, Jarvis.
What sort of information?
Sort of information only you can give me.
Well, I wish you would explain.
Remember the Parker murders?
Parker? Yes, of course I do.
You covered that case, didn't you? Rather thoroughly. I mean, right from the beginning.
Oh, that's my job.
Is it? Is it your job to condemn criminals to death? To take sides? To influence the public against innocent persons? Is that your job, Jarvis?
I don't think I understand what you're saying. I don't know you, and I don't like what I think you're implying, so if you'll excuse me.
You haven't heard all I have to say, Jarvis.
I don't think I care to.
No?
Look, I don't know who you are or what you're after.
But... Don't you, Jarvis? Look at me, Jarvis. I'm a little older. 15 years older, Jarvis.
15? You're Donaldson.
Right, first time, Steve Donaldson. 15 years in prison changes a man. It makes him look much older than he really is. The features become a little hard, a little sunken, perhaps. 15 years is a long time. I've had a lot of time to think, and I don't think you'll like my thoughts very much. Oh, yes. I've thought about you, Jarvis.
What do you want from me?
Nothing.
Nothing? Then why...
Nothing of material value. But I want you to experience some of the mental torture I experienced. For 3 years, you kept that case alive in your newspaper column. For 3 years, I sweated, I suffered, because I knew you'd never give up. Oh, yes. You kept at it, building false evidence, making people believe, snippets of information which you sucked out of the air, on and on, relentlessly hammering it into their heads. Then they caught me.
Look, if you wanted to attack me, why didn't you do it in court?
You've never stood trial for murder, have you? If you had, you would know what it's like to stand there. The palms of your hands sticky and uncomfortable. The sound of your heartbeat like a kettle drum in your ears. The feeling that everybody in that courtroom is whispering, he's guilty, he's guilty. The slow, unbearable rhythm which grows in your mind until you think your skull's going to crack. Oh, yes. It's easy enough to describe the haggard look of the prisoner, uneasily clasping and unclasping his hands, the trembling lips searching for words. That's easy enough. But have you ever imagined yourself up there? It's hell, Jarvis. You don't know what you're saying half the time. You only know that you're innocent, and somehow you've got to prove it. But how? How?
You were imprisoned, Donaldson. You weren't given the death sentence.
Am I supposed to jump for joy? They found me guilty, didn't they, of being an accessory to murder? There wasn't enough evidence, was there? Why didn't you create some more and have me hanged?
I reported what I took to be the facts, that's all.
Even if they were wrong? Did you ever bother to find out?
I can't remember. It's a long time ago.
Do you ever bother to print the truth? Or do you just write to fill up a page, Jarvis?
I've asked you before, what do you want?
And I've told you, nothing. Now that I'm free, I plan to become a gardener, Jarvis. And I've just planted my first seeds in your mind.
Come on, Liz, we're going.
Oh, but it's still early, Stan. Why, what's the matter? You're as white as a sheet.
The haggard look of the prisoner.
What?
Oh, never mind. Oh, come on, let's get away from here.
Well, Stan, what happened at that party?
Do you remember the Parker murders?
Parker? No, I don't think so.
Steve Donaldson?
No, Stan.
He was there tonight.
Who was?
Donaldson.
Well?
He accused me of printing false information about the murders.
What?
It was a case which intrigued me, Liz. I don't think I'll ever forget it, as long as I live. Mr. and Mrs. Parker were victims of what appeared at the outset to be nothing more than a series of sadistic practical jokes in very bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the usual mysterious phone calls, just heavy breathing at the other end of the line, anonymous letters, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they reported it to the police. Old man Parker was pretty wealthy, and they'd retired to a cozy little cottage in the country. Parker alerted the police, as I said, and they, in their small way, tried to help.
Yes.
The phone calls and letters stopped for a while. And then suddenly they started up again, more threatening than the first time.
Mm.
They terrorized the old couple until they were nearly demented with fear. I can't remember all the details, but they'd knock on the door of the cottage late at night, throw stones through the windows, and somehow they always managed to evade the police. One morning, the Parkers awoke to find their faithful little spaniel had been murdered in the night.
Oh, how terrible.
Oh, there's worse to come. More notes arrived, telephone calls, asking for money to be placed at certain almost inaccessible places.
Mm-hmm.
The Parkers ignored them, and a policeman was put on guard day and night at their home. And then, one night, it was one of those nights when the fog was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, there was a triple murder.
Oh, no.
The policeman, Mr. and Mrs. Parker.
Oh.
The murderer escaped undetected. Well, Scotland Yard did their best, and then after a long, unsuccessful search, the case died down and was shelved as one of the many unsolved murders in the files at New Scotland Yard.
Yes, but you said there was a man named Donaldson involved.
Oh, yes, but that came later.
Oh.
As I said, I was intrigued by the case and incensed that the murderers were allowed to escape scot-free.
Of course.
I kept that case alive in my column for 3 years. Every couple of months, I'd unearth the unsolved triple murder and splash it across the page with photos of the cottage, the dog, the policeman, and the parker.
Oh, but I remember now. Donaldson was charged.
That's right. He got away with a 20-year prison sentence. There wasn't enough evidence to hang him.
But you said he served 15 years.
Yes. Oh, he was sentenced to 20, but got a remand for good behavior.
Oh.
He must have been released this month sometime.
But tell me, did he threaten you?
In a way, yes, but not directly. He accused me of building the case up out of nothing, out of my own imagination. I think he intends to frighten me, Liz, and that's all. And if he does, he's going to find himself back in prison pretty smart.
Oh, but surely he wouldn't do that, not after all these years.
Who knows? A man's mind can crack after such a long stretch in jail. Liz, quickly.
Hmm?
See if you can get the number of that car behind us. I'm going to slow down.
Well, I can't see, Stan. Well, he's slowing down, too.
Well, all right. Never mind. Hang on. I'll try and shake him off.
All right.
No, he's still there.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'll bet you anything you like, that's Donaldson. Oh, you can relax, Liz.
Oh.
He's turned off at the crossroads.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes, he must have realized that we're coming to a built-up area.
But why didn't you stop and wait till he passed you? You would have got his number then.
Oh, no. He'd have stopped too and waited. We're almost home now. I know what I'm going to do when I get in.
What's that?
I'm going to pour myself a nice, stiff whiskey. Oh, well, here we are.
Oh, honestly, I'm shaking all over.
Oh, come and sit down. I'll pour the drinks.
Mm.
What do you have?
I think I'll follow suit, Stan.
Right. Two stiff whiskies coming up.
Listen, tell me, are you going to inform the police?
What, about Donaldson?
Mm.
No, I think I'll wait a while and see what happens. If that was him following us, we'll be hearing from him again pretty soon, I'm sure of that.
Oh.
Who knows, he may just leave us alone after all.
Well, I do hope so, Stan. I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight thinking about it.
You will, after this. Oh, I wonder how he got to that party and how he knew I'd be there.
Well, so many people there. An extra one wouldn't have been noticed. And it was composed almost completely of journalists.
Yes, he'd probably phoned the office and asked for me.
Mm-hmm.
They must have told him. Mm. I think I'll look up that case tomorrow. It seems it a long time ago. Now, who can that be?
Oh, no, he couldn't be so stupid.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Jarvis. I just phoned to say good night. Sweet dreams.
Hello? Hello? Donaldson!
Never stood trial for murder, have you? The palms of your hands sticky and uncomfortable. The sound of your heartbeat like a kettle drum in your ears. A slow, unbearable rhythm which grows in your mind until you think your skull's going to crack.
You all right, Mr. Jarvis?
What? Oh, John. Yes, I'm fine. I'm just dreaming a little.
You're not looking so well, if I may say so, sir.
No, a little tired, that's all. Anything interesting in the newsroom?
Oh, the usual. Do you want me to take that copy through for typesetting, sir?
Yes, please, John. The other proofs come through yet?
No, sir. Shall I check them up for you?
If you don't mind. Oh, I don't know what's the matter with me. I can't seem to concentrate anymore.
Perhaps you need a holiday, sir.
No. I think I need to retire and leave reporting to young people like you. New blood, new ideas. The ink in my blood is drying up.
If you don't mind me saying so, sir, I don't think this paper would be the same without your column in it.
Oh, thank you, my boy. Oh, excuse me. Just close the door for me, John.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Jarvis. How are you?
Donaldson! Will you leave me alone? I've asked you before, what do you want?
Not money, Jarvis. I'm not like you. By the way, how much did Fraser pay you?
Fraser? Who the hell is Fraser?
You don't know.
No, darn you. No, jolly well, I don't.
Strange. Now, come, your memory can't be that bad, old boy.
I warn you, Donaldson. If you don't get off my back, I'll put the police onto you, and you'll be back behind bars before you know where you are.
Really? It's been 2 weeks since the party, Jarvis. Why only now? Why haven't you phoned them before now?
Because
you're scared, aren't you? Because you do remember Fraser. You're feeling just a little bit guilty, aren't you?
No. No!
Control yourself, Jarvis. That's not good for you, you know. Not good for you at all.
Who is Fraser?
It's a pity I have to spell it out for you, Jarvis. Fraser is the man who killed one dog, one policeman, and two Parkers.
What? Donaldson! Donaldson!
What's the matter, sir? Who's that?
Mind your own business, boy. What the blazes do you think you're doing here?
Yeah,
get out at once. Get out!
Why don't you phone the police, Stan?
No. Don't you see? That's just what he wants, Liz. And as soon as I do, he'll lay off.
But wouldn't that be better for both of us?
Look, Liz, there's more to this than you know. I told you the case intrigued me, and it must have seemed to you that my pursuit of justice was purely humanitarian. Well, it wasn't.
But you mean Donaldson's right?
Oh, no, he's not. But he's built up a completely false picture, but I'm not guiltless either.
Oh,
I was being paid a large sum of money by a man named Richardson to keep the case in the public's eye.
Oh.
I didn't know his motives. I didn't even question him, but it must have had something to do with Fraser.
Fraser?
Well, Donaldson phoned me at the office today.
Yes?
He said that it was someone called Fraser who committed the murders.
Oh, but is there any way of checking up? What about the police file? They must have something on Fraser.
Oh, I did that. I phoned Travers. There was a Fraser up for blackmail about 16 years ago. Apparently, he left the country in 1965. As far as I know, he is now living in France somewhere.
And Richardson? What about this Richardson, the man who was paying you?
No, a complete blank.
Stan?
Yes?
Why did you accept the money?
Why does anybody do that sort of thing? I needed it. We were struggling then to build a home. It wasn't all that much. And I honestly thought that it was a case which should be pursued. I didn't think that...
What do you think now?
I think I should give up. Leave here.
But why? Because of one man with a vengeance? Look, if he's not a murderer, he won't commit murder now, surely. And if he tries, the police will step in. In fact, I still think you should phone them, Stan. Oh, please listen to me.
No.
But what have you got to lose? Are you too proud? Is that it? Do you want to run away like a criminal?
A criminal? He asked me if I knew what a criminal felt like. I think I do now. I keep looking over my shoulder and wondering if somebody's following me. My eyes keep flicking to the rearview mirror when I'm driving to and from work. I keep waiting for the phone to ring, looking out for the mail, for anonymous letters.
Oh, Stan.
He's playing on my nerves. He wants me to break down completely. That's his game, and I can't play it any longer. I can't.
Mr. Jarvis. Sir.
What? Who are you?
It's John, sir.
John? Did Donaldson send you?
Donaldson?
Yes. Oh, I know your game. There are a whole lot of you, aren't there?
I brought your proofs back, sir.
Proofs? Are we running another story on the Parker murders? Oh, the truth this time. Is that it? Is that what you want? A double-page spread. Eh? What do you think? Photos of the dog, the policeman, old Parker and his wife. And then right at the top, a photo of Stanley Jarvis, criminal. How does that sound? The crime story of the year. Go ahead and write it, my boy. It'll make your name for you. You want that, don't you?
I don't know what you mean, sir.
Don't you? Then read this letter, then.
Letter?
Go on, read it.
All right, sir.
Out loud, so that my ears can hear what my eyes fail to see.
Jarvis, your time is running out. Fraser was Richardson's stepbrother. A fact I'm sure you knew. But perhaps you didn't. No, but Richardson died in Versailles on the 14th of June, 1970. The last person to see him alive was Fraser. Do you feel like printing this information? That's all, sir.
Oh, it's not enough.
I don't understand, sir. Who wrote this letter to you?
An innocent man who spent 15 years in prison. That must have been hell. Can you imagine what it must be like? 15 years is a long time. Oh, I'm too old now. Too old to understand. I mean, really understand. Oh, come and get me, Donaldson.
No, sir.
I can't go on anymore. You tell Donaldson to come and get me.
I think you ought to go home, sir. Can I drive you back?
Go away from me. Leave me alone. I'll walk.
That's what he said to me. Walk, Donaldson, as if I were a ruddy dog. And you walked. You know what I did?
Huh?
I stopped just where I was and didn't budge. I wasn't going to be pushed around by anybody. I was innocent. And that ruddy prison warder knew it too. Jarvis knows it now. And he's going through what I went through, and I'm glad.
What's you going to do to him, Steve?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? I'd make him pay for what he did to you. If I was you, I'd make him suffer.
Well, you're not me, so shut up.
What's the matter with you? You scared?
Of course I'm not scared.
Well, then why don't you beat him up? I would. I'd make him suffer, I tell you. Really suffer.
He knows, Fred. He knows what it is to suffer. He's suffering right now. He's running away from me. He doesn't know where I am. He doesn't know what he's running to. I'm innocent. And he knows it.
Yeah. But who else knows? Is he going to print an apology so everybody can read it? Never.
No. He doesn't need to. You should have heard his voice on the phone this afternoon. I've broken him good and proper. He's finished as a newspaper man. Finished.
That's not enough, Steve. You know it. You've got to do the job properly. You've got to break him so he'll never write again.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah. I'd break him the way a swine like that deserves to be broken. By force.
I'm not the violent type. Never have been.
Yeah, you're a coward.
Coward? No, I don't think I am. I don't think I've any reason to be brave either. I shouldn't have done it. Hasn't made me any easier.
What are you talking about? It's justice, that's what. You'd feel easier if you smashed him up. That's what I'd do. And I wouldn't pull any punches either.
It's not my way of working, and never has been. Someday I'll teach you how to pay back debts. The right way.
You won't have to teach me. Because I won't be jailed for murder, Steve.
You will. You continue to threaten people the way you do.
Where are you going?
To find Jarvis.
What for?
Say goodbye. I think he's had enough. Don't you?
Hello?
Mrs. Jarvis?
Hmm?
It's John Harris.
Oh, yes, John.
Has Mr. Jarvis arrived home yet?
Well, no, John. I thought he might be working late. He often does the night before the paper goes to bed. But is he not there with you?
No, Mrs. Jarvis. He was in a bit of a state.
Oh,
I suggested he went home. Hmm. He left about an hour ago. He said he was going to walk.
Oh, John. Well, what do I do?
Don't you worry too much, Mrs. Jarvis. I'll see if I can find him.
Oh, good.
I'll ring you back.
Stop following me. Stop following me, Donaldson. Leave me alone. I didn't want to do it. I didn't. But he offered me money. And I needed that money. Badly. I couldn't refuse, you see. And he was going to kill me if I did. You understand? I knew you were innocent. You see, he knew Fraser was safe. And if I could find someone else and have him convicted, there would be no danger. No danger at all. You do see that, don't you, Donaldson?
It grows in your mind until you think your skull is going to crack. You've never stood trial for murder, have you? Have you ever imagined yourself up there? It's hell, Jarvis. You don't know what you're saying half the time. You only know that you're innocent, and somehow you've got to prove it. But how? How?
I don't know how! I want you to leave me alone!
Where is he?
Very sorry.
John. He's dead, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, was it Donaldson?
No. Donaldson was waiting at the office.
What?
It was a late night news van.
Oh.
Accident. Driver tried to swerve.
Murder on the Mind, written and produced by Glenn Day, with James Irwin as Stan Jarvis, Harold Freed as Steve Donaldson, Valerie Miller-Brown as Liz, and Jack Claff as John. The play was directed by Henry Diffenthal.
We present Snap Dragons by Glenn Day.
Too late.
Yeah, Mike came.
Oh, how many does that make it?
25. It's amazing the number of times I beat you at cards.
Oh, it's amazing the number of times I lose.
Oh, same thing. Cut.
Why don't we play chess or something for a change?
I'm no good at chess.
Yes, but I am.
We'll stick to cards.
One of these days, I'm going to surprise you.
You want to bet?
No.
Why not?
I'm no good at bets. Oh, Joss is here.
I know.
Well, why don't you say hello?
It's your turn.
Oh, no, it's not. I said hello to him last night.
Well, it's about time he said hello to one of us for a change.
What's he doing?
Reading as usual. Ah, I'm sick of this. We're going to have a bath.
Hey, Joss, how about a quick game?
No, thanks, Percy. You play on your own.
Oh, it's no fun by myself. What's the time?
Time you were going to bed.
I don't need much sleep.
Didn't you know that sleep was good for the brain?
No.
That figures.
Oh, I'm going out.
At this time of night?
I don't know what time of night
it is. It's nearly midnight.
I'm not going out. Oh. Joss.
Yes, Percival.
Got a book for me?
What would you do with a book?
Oh, go to sleep. Have you, Joss?
Well, I've got a book, but you sure you want to read it?
Yes, of course. Well, where is it?
There are a couple of books in my briefcase, if you care to have a look and choose one.
Oh, thanks, Joss. Joss, where's your briefcase?
Oh, dear, I must have left it at Anne's this evening. Sorry, Percival.
Why do you guys always confuse me? I mean, pull someone else's leg for a change. I've had enough of your teasing. I might not be as bright as you two, but I don't deserve to be treated like a complete fool, you know.
All right, Percy, calm down. We admit that we've treated you badly, and from now on we won't treat you like a complete fool. Joss, from now on we treat Percival like an incomplete fool.
Oh, shut up! Shut up! I'm funny, aren't I? A fool. Well, you're always picking on me. You just wait. One day you'll stop laughing at me. I'm going to show you.
Ooh.
Both of you.
Getting all upset, isn't he?
I'll be the one who's going to laugh then.
Mm-hmm.
I've always got to take your taunts and jeers. Oh, Percy can take it. Oh, yes. Percy's too stupid even to have any feelings. Well, you're wrong. I have got feelings.
Yes.
I always say nothing just to keep the peace. Well, I'm not going to anymore.
We've noticed.
What?
That you're not going to keep the peace anymore.
Oh, go on. See if I care. Oh. Say more nasty things.
For Pete's sake, put a sock in it, will
you? I'm going out and I'm not coming back either.
You're not married to either of us, darling, so just pack your patched jeans and long combinations and go.
I am, and you're both going to be sorry.
We are sorry.
Eh?
Yeah, sorry you didn't think of it earlier. Exit Percival in a huff. Silence. And sleep.
They just think they rule the world. Well, I'm going to show them. They're not going to laugh at me anymore. Just you wait. I'll show them. So they can beat me at cards. So what? I can also cheat if I want to. And I know Rodney cheats. But I never catch him at it. And if I say anything, he's always got a clever answer, and I end up looking like a fool. And Joss. You can't even talk to him. He's so highbrow, it's a wonder he bothers to share a flat with us. Intellectual stuff and nonsense. Why can't people just be people? I mean, I know I haven't got much between my ears. Heavens, I've been told that enough times. But I'm not stupid. I can feel. I've got feelings. I'm sick of the way everything goes against me. And I do nothing. But it's not going to be like that anymore. I'm going to do something. Something that's going to make them sit up and take notice. But what? Oh, what, for heaven's sake? What am I doing here in the street? Where do I go from here? Oh, I hate having nowhere to go. Nobody cares at all. I might as well be dead. I wish I could believe in something. Something that would lead me. I wish I could believe in miracles. who performs them these days anyway?
Joss? Hey, Joss.
Hmm?
You want to play a quick game of Snap?
No.
Ah, roll on the days of the illiterate masses. Maybe if none of us learned to read, there'd be more fun in this pseudo-intellectual world. What are you reading, anyway?
A book.
Oh, go on.
Oh, shut up and leave me alone.
Everybody wants to be left alone. Why don't you pack your complete works of William What's-His-Name and leave home like an ego-wounded bookworm?
My name's not Percival.
You're just as bad. Ah, this is a crazy world. No communication at all. No wonder we have wars. How's Anne?
All right.
Some love affair. When on earth do you two ever get together?
Oh, I mean, of course, to exchange viewpoints on the social and political situation.
Oh, shut up. Turn that music off, will you? Where do you think he is?
Well, if you're referring to our ex-friend Percival, I don't know, and I can't say I care.
Well, he must be somewhere.
A very acute observation.
It's been over a week and nobody's seen or heard from him since he left.
Missing him, are you?
Oh, no, of course not. Don't be so stupid. I checked up at the factory and they haven't seen him since last Friday. I mean, something must have happened to him. Oh, for heaven's sake, Joss, he's a human being and we were the only friends he had in the whole world. You know that.
Poor fool. A bit of a change from the way you spoke to him last week. I didn't notice you begging him not to go.
I was only joking. I didn't think he meant it when he said he was going. He never really got upset about it before. I thought maybe he was just going to the cafe for some cigarettes and that he'd creep back a few minutes later. But he didn't.
If you're so concerned, why didn't you do something about it on the night he walked out?
I don't know. Do you think I should have informed the police or something?
Missing persons bureau. Yes, of course. A description, please. Protruding ears, sort of stupid looking, about 25. Was he a friend of yours? No. I see. Well, why do you want us to find him?
Oh, quit it, will you?
Right on cue. Do you want to bet that's Mr. Percival himself, returning like a lamb for the slaughter? And in half an hour, you'll be just as rude to him as you were before he left.
You just bury your nose in your highfalutin book and leave this to me.
Yes, sir.
Okay, okay, I'm coming. So you...
Mr. P. Rogers?
No, my name's Jackson, Rodney Jackson. Mr. Rogers doesn't live here anymore. At least, that is, he hasn't been here for over a week now.
I see. Mind if I come in, sir? I'd like to ask you a few questions.
He's not in trouble, is he?
That's what we want to find out. Now, may we come in?
Oh, yes, of course. Come in.
Ah. Thank you. My name is Sayers, and this is Constable Jenkins.
How do you do, Sergeant?
Inspector.
Inspector. This is my friend, Joss Baker.
Good evening, Inspector. Have you found him, then?
No. We thought you might be able to help us do just that.
What's he done?
Well, we're not sure that he's done anything. You may remember that there was a robbery just over a week ago at Bonzo's cake shop just down the road. We have reason to suspect that your friend was hanging around the street on the night that it happened. We thought maybe he could throw some light on the matter.
Bonzo's? Good heavens, he couldn't have.
Couldn't have what, Mr. Jackson?
I think my friends just realized that Bonzo's was burgled on the same night that Percival disappeared.
Disappeared?
Yes. You see, we had a bit of a row with old Percy, and he walked out on us, and we haven't seen him since.
Have you tried to contact him?
Well, I inquired down at the factory.
No. Jason's Construction. Yes, we checked there.
They knew nothing about him?
No.
Well, we really don't know how we can help, Inspector.
No, I don't suppose you do. But if he does turn up, you will contact us, won't you?
Yes, of course.
I never thought Percival would have the guts to do such a thing.
We're not saying he did, Mr. Baker. But he might have seen something which might help us to find out who did. The fact that Mr. Rogers didn't return home that night and hasn't been seen or heard of since makes us a little anxious to find him, if you know what I mean.
Are you suggesting that Percival could have been hurt or something?
Anything is possible, Mr. Baker. We must look at this from all angles and try to find something that will sort of throw light on the situation. If we hear anything, we'll let you know. And I hope you do the same for us.
Yes, of course, Inspector.
Oh, by the way, why didn't you report to the police that your friend was missing?
Well, we were going to, but, well, we thought he was joking, see?
Yes, he worried a lot, you know, over trifles. He was sensitive about things, too. Not very intelligent either, but not really stupid. He's a good chap, really.
I see. Well, thank you again. Good night, sir.
Good night, Inspector.
Good night.
Exits Inspector and one dumb assistant.
Yeah. He didn't say a word the whole time he was here.
Paid to keep his mouth shut, I suppose. Probably got a photographic memory. Did you notice the way his eyes took in every detail of the flat in one fell swoop?
Yeah. Well, that saves us a trip to the police station anyway. I wonder if Percival had anything to do with that robbery. What do you think?
How can you be so idiotic? Percival? He wouldn't have the intelligence to rob a blind beggar. I mean, can you imagine him working out a plan to steal something from someone and get away with it?
No, but under stress, people do things that they're not normally capable of. And he was under stress. I mean, he walked out of here as if he really wanted to do something that he'd never done before.
Oh, do shut up, Rodney. I sometimes wonder if you have any more intelligence than our Percival. And what an imagination.
I don't know. He couldn't have, I suppose. On the other hand, he could have.
Going, Joss?
Oh, I don't know. Just thought we'd take a spin into the country.
It's tough not knowing what to do with oneself on a Sunday, isn't it?
Have you seen anything in the paper about the robbery?
What robbery?
Well, the robbery, stupid. The one Percival's involved in.
Oh, that. No, there's been nothing lately.
Anyway, we don't know Percival is involved or not, do we?
Well, it must look pretty suspicious to the police, though.
Yeah, I guess it does. Hey, isn't this the way to Anne's?
Yes, it is.
Are we going to see her, then?
Might as well drop in.
Seem to have cooled off somewhat. But what goes on between you two? You haven't seen her for weeks.
Well, it's not me, old chap. She's studying or something. I said I'd leave her alone for a bit in the evenings.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you didn't have a row, then.
Do I have to go through a cross-examination just because I haven't seen my girlfriend for a couple of weeks?
Oh, sorry.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have gone off her. She isn't very bright anyway.
So why bother going to see her now?
Just because...
Looks all shut up. You should have phoned.
Well, we're here now, so might as well see if she's home or not. Ah, hello, Anne.
Hello, Joss.
Rodney and I wondered if you'd like to come for a spin this afternoon. Or are you still studying?
No, I'm not studying, but I'm busy with something this afternoon, thanks all the same.
Oh, can't it keep? I haven't seen you for ages.
Well, that's not my fault, is it? You know where I am. You could easily have popped in to say hello on your way home from work.
Yes, well, I've been working hard, you know, and...
Don't make excuses to me, Mr. Joss Baker. I think, taking everything into consideration, you should just forget about me in the future and find someone else who'll tag along every time you snap your fingers.
What do you mean? I mean, look here, we've been good friends and all, and you just can't deal...
Well, how to end friendships and influence suckers.
Shut up!
Where to now?
Home. And if you want to go out, you can walk.
Well, how was I?
Oh, you were great, Anne, but I would have loved to have seen his face.
It was a picture, I tell you. Well, Percival, where do we go to from here?
Next step is to phone him tomorrow and ask for me. Say you want to discuss something.
Hello, Joss Baker speaking.
Hello, Joss. Anne here.
Oh, hello, Anne. I was going to give you a ring. Look, I'm sorry about yesterday. I was a little bit...
Oh, no need to be sorry, Joss. I was the one who was rude. But look, I haven't phoned to apologize, so don't get the wrong idea, okay? I wanted a word with Percival.
Percival? But he's not here. He hasn't been here for over a week. Surely you knew.
How could I have known? I haven't seen you for over a week.
Well, he walked out on us one night, and we haven't seen him since.
Why?
Why what?
Well, to tell you the truth, we upset him a bit. You're just teasing him there. You know how it is.
Yes, as usual. You all think yourself so clever, don't you? Why couldn't you have left him alone or tried to be more friendly towards him? Oh, I've seen how you tormented him. Where's he now?
I honestly don't know, Anne. He could be anywhere. The police are searching for him, too. Well, it was the same night that that cake shop was burgled. Bonzo's, you know. And they think that Percival might have had something to do with it.
Oh, how ridiculous can they get? Well, anyway, if he does pitch up, ask him to give me a ring.
Okay, Anne. Look, what about us... Hello? Hello? Oh.
Hi, what's new?
Nothing much. Anne phoned.
A reconciliation?
Wanted to talk to Percy.
Go on.
She didn't know anything about his leaving or anything.
What did she want to talk to him about?
She didn't say. And when she heard he'd left, she had a go at me for the way I treated him and then slammed the phone down.
Oh, very ladylike, I'm sure.
You know, I've been thinking about that. The phone call, I mean. She never really knew Percival. So why should she want to talk to him now? Especially now.
Now?
Now that he's disappeared. I've got an idea about something. Come on, let's go.
Where to?
To Anne's. Well, are you coming or aren't you?
I don't understand what's going on, but I'm coming.
So you see, Percy, you've got to do something now. There just may be trouble for you.
Oh, I didn't realize what had happened. Oh, I'm sorry you're mixed up in all of this. But I think the next step is a fairly simple one.
Now, don't do anything silly.
Oh, now, don't worry, Anne. There's always a right and a wrong in this world. I thought that I could make things right, and I only succeeded in doing a lot of wrong, which wasn't what I'd meant at all. But it's done me a lot of good and has taught me a lot. Well, that's for sure. But now, it's up to me. I think all my things are packed.
Where are you going?
To the police station.
But why, Percy?
I'm going to tell them everything from the beginning.
Oh, where is the beginning?
I don't know, Anne. But since I met you, I knew that someday I would find one. And if there has to be a new beginning for anyone...
Yes. Well, go on.
Well, you've taught me a lot about searching in the right direction. And if anything happens to me, I know that you'll be here just the same as always. And that's very important to me.
What are you trying to say, Percy?
Well, I'm not very good at it, I know. But, well, I think I've fallen in love with you.
Think?
You're laughing at me.
Oh, only because I feel the same way about you.
Then whatever happens, you...
Whatever happens, I'll be here waiting for you.
Well, here goes. Wish me luck.
Oh, I do. What's that?
What?
It sounds like... It is. Quickly, Percy, out the back way.
Why? Who is it?
It's Joss's car. They must have suspected something when I phoned. Now, quickly, Percy.
All right, I'm going. Try to keep them here a while.
I will. Just a minute. Oh. Hello, Joss.
Hello.
Didn't expect to see you so soon. I've only just spoken to you on the phone. Any news of Percy?
Where is he?
Where's who?
Percy.
That's what I phoned you about.
Look, I know he's here.
Oh, good. Then maybe you can find him for me. Do come inside. Right. Now, enjoy your little search. And when you've finished, I want both of you back in here, sitting down and shutting up. Because there's a heck of a lot I want to say to you.
Just about the whole story, Inspector, as far as I can remember.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. I'm glad you came along to me. Saved us a lot of trouble.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm not sure, Mr. Rogers. Of course, we will have to ask you to stay here for a while.
Oh.
Constable Jenkins will look after you. We have to check on your story first, and then, well, we'll see how soon we can let you go.
Oh, you're not at all like I imagined, if you don't mind me saying so.
What did you imagine?
Well, inspectors are always tight-lipped and tough. Oh, you're not like that at all.
On the screen, maybe. But we are human, you know.
Is there anything else you want to know?
No. You just leave everything to me.
Hey, Rodney, have you seen the papers? Percival's picture's all over the front page.
I know, I've seen them.
But have you read what it says?
Yeah, a blooming hero. He'll be off to Hollywood next, playing cops and robbers for Samuel Goldwyn.
Mr. Percival Rogers, without whose assistance the police could never have tracked down one of the largest smash-and-grab rings in the country, is a local...
All right, I've read it.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Yes, there is. You're jealous, that's what. He said that he'd show us up, and he has.
Coming.
Percy. Hey, Rodney, it's Percy and Anne.
Well, well.
Come inside.
Hello, Joss. I brought a bottle. Thought we might have a little drink for old time's sake.
Sure. Come in and make yourselves comfortable.
Hello, Rodney. Well, you've been playing cards.
Oh, hello, Anne. Yeah, I'm not very good, but I used to beat Percy.
I found some glasses. Will you pour, Rodney?
Oh, sure.
Saw the papers, Percival. Oh, congratulations. We thought, Well, we thought all sorts of things when you left.
Yeah, I know. But that's all over now, so let's not talk about it. I've found a new beginning in my life, and the ending is going to be happier than I ever could have imagined. Well, if it hadn't been for you two, I would never have known where or when to start my search. Oh, the robbery was just a little incident which happened along the way.
What are you talking about, old chum?
Joss, Anne and I are engaged to be married.
Anyone for a game of snap? What's the matter, Joss? Would you rather play happy families? You know something, Percy? I think you played your cards better than I ever played, with jokers up my sleeve.
You've got yourselves a royal flush, Percival. Rodney?
Yeah?
Let's drink a toast to Percival and Anne, to their new beginning and to our future.
Our future?
Yes. It's going to be different, Rodney. From now on, I cheat when we play snap.
Snapdragons by Glyn Day, with Stephen Barden as Rodney Jackson and Roger Service taking the part of Joss Baker. Others in the cast were Robert Gordon, Reg Richards, and Margaret Milner-Smythe. The play was produced by Henry Diffenthal.
Listen again next week for another play from the archives of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa in Radio Theatre.